at least identifying, where am I spiritually? 2 weeks ago, we talked about that. If you want it, it's on CD. You can go to the information center and get a copy. But where are you spiritually? We have to look at ourselves and identify where we're at, which is A, on a map, before we can ever get to where we're going, which is B, which, of course, we know grand total is heaven for eternity, if we know Christ as our Lord and Savior. So how do we get there? How do we begin this journey? So we began talking last week about taking inventory. What kind of mess am I in? What do I need to heal and renew my life to get back on track between A and B, where God would have me to be? So we have to start self-evaluating. Where am I? What am I doing? And am I doing it according to my will, or am I doing it according to God's will? Because a lot of times our life's a wreck and we look around, and if we'll stop long enough, we'll realize it's not everyone around me that's the problem. I'm the problem. And we have to look at ourselves and really humble ourselves, tuck our pride in our back pocket, and say, I could really be the problem here. Let's take a look at me. And I'm trying to get everything I want according to Arby's will, and it's not working out. So then we have to jump back into the Word of God and say, what is the truth of His Word? What does God's Word say about my situation, my circumstance? And how can I apply it to better my life, to better my situation, so that I can be better for those around me? So we're in the book of Nehemiah. We went through chapter 1. And we cruised clear through all three verses in chapter 2 last week. We're going to try to get through 17 verses today. I don't know if it'll happen, but we're going to give it our best. So we're looking at the life of Nehemiah, and he's back rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. So we're getting a little bit of insight of what did he do? Because he takes on this huge task, and opposition's against him. The walls are in rubble. The gates have been burned. Some of us are in those positions today in our lives. Our walls have been torn down to rubble, and our gates have been burned. And if we'll continue to believe the enemy, if you remember the picture we had the first week, had the guy hanging halfway off the cliff, as he's climbing up it. And I said, some of us are still at the bottom of the cliff, laying there on the ground, looking up at it, going, I'd sure like to climb that someday. But we buy into the enemy's lie that what I'm doing is good enough, and where I'm at is good enough. And we don't continue to progress and renew ourselves, but we just stay where we are and say, you know, it's good enough. It's all right. It's got me this far. It's just who I am. It's just how I am. But let's look at this verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. That's kind of been our central verse for this series. Romans 12, chapter 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So this gives us a baseline to return to. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. What the world says is good enough may not be good enough for God, may not be good enough for His desires for your life. So we don't conform to what this world says is status quo or okay. But what we do is we take everything that God has placed inside of us, our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our intelligence, and we apply it with the fullest of our ability to His glory, for His kingdom, for His namesake. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we can get our mind renewed to the mind of Arby, we'll be way better off. Right? No. But if we renew our mind to the mind of Christ, Because see, if you were all renewed to my mind, I wouldn't like it because you'd be out there shooting all my critters. Right? I like that some people don't like to hunt. That's more game for me to go hunt. That's less people in the woods for me to bump into. It's okay. We don't all have to like to hunt to get along. We do have to serve the same Jesus to all get to heaven. But there's lots of preferences down here on earth that are pretty meaningless. That if we don't use them properly, we'll use them as division. Instead of, hey, that's great that you love to do that. I support you in that, but I don't like to do that myself. I'm not a quilter. But I love all quilters. I have two quilts on my bed right now, but I didn't make them. But I love them. It should unite us rather than divide us. And we don't have to all like the same thing. But we should renew our mind to the mind of Christ, not to what I think is a great mindset, but it's pretty clearly laid out in the Word of God what Christ's mind was in different situations if we will begin to study it and understand it. And then it tells us why we should do this, so we can test and approve what God's will is. When we renew our mind to the mind of Christ, then we go, oh, this is what God's will is for me. This is what He's been wanting me to do all along. And then we can go do it and be pleasing to God. Who wants to act in God's perfect will? I do. Pick me. But I have to renew my mind first. So renewal starts with me and then moves to the body of Christ and then moves to the generations, the world around us. Think big. Don't think small. Think big. Because God is a great big God. So we're jumping in at verse 4 in Nehemiah chapter 2. The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven. So first of all, we've got to know what we want. Have you ever went into the grocery store and just stopped right inside the door? I thought, I should probably make a grocery list. I mean, I'm at the store and I should know what I want. Or do you have one on your refrigerator that you're filling out throughout the week or month and then you just take it with you and you go because you know what you want? I came for eggs, potatoes, bacon, milk. For me, if I have more than one thing, I need a list. Because if not, if I go for two, I'll forget one. And buy three other things I didn't need. But we've got to know what we want. Is my heart's desire to fulfill the will of God in my life? Because if it is, I need to work on renewing my mind. Not having my own thinking and understanding, but having understanding of the Word of God. Having the wisdom of how to apply it. Increasing my knowledge bank of knowing His Word. And then another thing Nehemiah does here, he involves God. He says he asked of God. Have you asked of God? Sometimes we know what we want, but we've done nothing about it. So first of all, we have to know what we want, and then we have to involve God in our situation. Saying, God, will you come be a part of my plan? God, will you come show me the error of my way? God, will you come give me direction and wisdom? Because otherwise, we're just hanging out here on a limb. I know what I want. You know, I want to shoot a 180 class whitetail. I want to. And you wouldn't believe the one I saw get taken last week on the Hunting Channel. It was beautiful. But I didn't get a tag and license this year. I never left my house. I haven't purchased a rifle. But I want to get one. Somewhere we have to get involved and start pursuing what we want. And it's best if we ask God en route on that plan. God, will you give me insight and direction? Will you give me understanding? So Nehemiah says, then I prayed to the God of heaven. That's an important step that we often forget. And we pray to the God of whoever. Visa, MasterCard, Capital One, indebtedness, Dr. Phil. We get advice from everywhere but God. We get everyone involved but God. But God wants to be involved in your lives, and we have to invite Him into our situation. Say, God, this is what I want. But what does Jesus say in the garden? But not my will be done, but yours. We have a right to say, this is what I want, God. Jesus did it. He says, if this cup could pass from me, let it. But if not, not my will, but your will be done. And we have to be okay with that answer because it might not be what we want or it might not be exactly as we dreamed or hoped. Because God's will isn't always our will. But He always has a great plan for my future. He always has a great destiny. He always has my best interest in mind. And if I can trust Him with my future, if I can trust that His plan is for my good and the good of others, then I can humbly submit in that moment and say, okay, God, not my will. I told you what I want, but yours be done. So jumping into verse 5. And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah, where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild it. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. The king says, what do you want? He's asking him to ask him. God invites us to ask him. He says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. But we have to do our part in our renewal. We have to go out and seek and ask and knock. Say, God, I don't like this side of me. This is kind of a dark side of me. Sorry. That really hurt. Oh my goodness. Next time I will just cough in the mic. Wow. That was a humdinger right there. But we need to ask God for what we want. We need to ask others for what we want. Often we have tensions in our relationship because we expect something out of it that we've never asked. So whoever's involved, whether it be a spouse, a relative, a friend, a coworker, a boss, we've never asked. I was in a meeting over in Olympia this last week, and Pastor Dave was talking about this conference he was at, talking with these other pastors, and one of them says, yeah, I asked this guy, I said, hey, can you help support my campaign? You know, I'm in need of $1 million. And the guy says, sure, writes him a check. $1 million. Later, that pastor and the $1 million guy's pastor are talking. He says, yeah, so-and-so gave me $1 million. He goes, what? He goes to my church. He's never given me $1 million. And the pastor said, have you asked him? True story. He says, well, no. So he hadn't given him opportunity to. But if we will ask, this is something we actually have to do, not think, but do. And then the rest of us have to respond to the asking. So who wants to give $1 million? I just want you to know, you can. We will allow it. We can do a lot of great things in God's kingdom. But if you ask not, you have not, because you did not ask. That's on us. We can grumble and complain all we want. If we don't have, we don't have, we don't have. But unless we ask, As we've built this building and everything else, all the contractors we've had, we've asked them, would you be willing to donate anything to the project? Some have said, absolutely not, it's my living. And some have said, absolutely, I'll donate everything. They've paid for the materials and the labor out of their pocket. Not that we require it or expect it, but we want to give them the opportunity to sow into the kingdom so God can sow into their families and businesses also. But we have to ask first. And either way, we're not going to love them or hate them, whether they say yes or no. And we have to go with that mindset of, I'm asking. Whether you say yes or no, our relationship's still the same. We're still good. But I'm giving you opportunity to sow into the kingdom or sow into somebody's life or whatever it is. We've asked a bunch of people to come to meet the pastors. Some of you have said yes. Some of you have said no. Some of you have said, what are we eating? Let me know the menu next month and I might come then. But we have to learn to ask for what we want. Verses 6 through 8. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take, and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. So when we go into knowing what we want and asking for something, we need to begin working out the details. What am I going to need? What's it going to look like? If I was able to be renewed, what would that look like? How does God see me? Who am I supposed to be in the kingdom? Because there's a process of getting from A to B. If we think about it on the map, as we're along on our journey, we're going to need some provisions for camping along the way, for getting food along the way, for starting fires along the way, for making shelter along the way. So Nehemiah's thinking of rebuilding a physical wall, physical doors, physical houses. But in our spiritual lives, what do you need rebuilt in you? What does that look like? What will it entail? We need to get specific details. How can I get on track? One way you can do that is by showing up Sunday morning listening to the Word of God preached. You can listen to radio and TV programs of great ministers all across the country and the world, sitting in your own living room or your own vehicle. You can get involved in life groups. You can join with a group, begin creating a network of friends and family within the body of Christ. There's lots of ways we can get involved, but do we? So we need to be very precise. Nehemiah is asking for specific letters to specific people about specific things. He says, I'm going to need safe passage to get there. I don't want to be harassed or robbed on my way there. And once I get there, I'm going to need some timbers to begin rebuilding. So what are those timbers in your life? What do you need to begin rebuilding? Because if our walls are torn down, our gates are burned, remember, we're defenseless. We're all alone. And the enemy loves it when we're defenseless, because all he has to do is just give us a little poke to keep us down. All he has to do is give us a thump on the head to keep us down. And then we're not fulfilling what God has called us to do. But once we get our walls and our gates rebuilt, he can no longer harm us. He can no longer defeat us. He can attack us. But we will deflect it with the Word of God, with the sword of the Spirit, with the truth of God's word in us. Then we can defend ourselves. Verse 9. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. You know, you shouldn't go your journey alone. You should have some people around you. In 2 weeks from now, Pastor Kelly's going to be talking about that. Who do we gather around us to help us rebuild? How do we build a team? How do we pick people, confidences in our lives? Next week, we'll be talking about the tools that we need to rebuild. How do we use and apply them? Just to give you a look into the next couple weeks. So we need to get a support system around us. We need to build a team. Do you guys have a team around you? And if you do, then you should be part of someone else's team, helping support them, helping them rebuild, helping them renew. Verse 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite officials heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. So prepare for adversity. God doesn't say you can live a life without adversity. He says, I will give you strength, I will give you peace, I will give you joy, I will give you protection, but adversity's coming. I will give you the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and counsel you, but adversity's coming. I will give you the truth of my word and the knowledge therein, but adversity is coming. And that's part of that renewal, getting our walls, our defenses up, knowing what we have for spiritual tools and weapons to build and fight with, to strengthen ourselves, encourage ourselves in the Lord, because adversity's coming. Are we ready for it? If we're defenseless, it doesn't take much adversity to put us back down. We get one stone laid and we get knocked back down. We get one stone laid and we get knocked back down. But if we can get our walls back up, if we can get renewed in our minds, then adversity can't stand against us. Verses 11 and 12. I went to Jerusalem. And after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. Learn when to speak and when to remain silent. We've got to learn when to keep our mouth shut. There's a time to release news. And that time isn't always as soon as you hear it. And there's a time to put news to rest or death and not spread it at all. We have to know when to release the words that are given to us by God, spoken to us by God. We have to know when to keep words silent that are given in confidence. And not be a gossip, not be a slanderer. We have to know when to be silent. Do you guard your tongue? The Word of God tells us a horse can be bridled and tamed, but who can tame the tongue? It's a challenge. It's tough. It's something we have to work at. Intentionally bite your tongue. If that's what it takes to keep you shut up. Because you shouldn't tell everything you know. There may be a time for it. But some things just need put to rest and buried and never spoken of again. Let no unwholesome talk come from your mouth. Nehemiah knew when to be quiet and when to speak. That's probably why he was a voice piece of God, right? That probably helps us become a voice piece of God. He goes, I can trust so-and-so because they know when to shut up. I can't trust that guy. He just runs off at the mouth and doesn't know when to stop. We have to guard our mouths, our tongues. They're a mighty weapon or tool used to build, edify, and encourage, or to tear down, destroy, and diminish. What does your tongue do? Take inventory. Oh boy. We used to have a lot of verses. So I was taking this guy fishing a couple years ago, maybe 10 years ago now. It's been a while. And he was on a guided fishing trip. Of course, you hire a guide because generally you don't know what you're doing and need help with that. So we pack into the backcountry, and I had this gentleman and another gentleman who didn't know each other prior to the trip. We go out to the fishing hole the first evening, and we start fishing, and I'm going to pick one guy and see if he knows anything. If so, I'll turn him loose. If not, I'll help him out. So I fish with him for a little bit and say, okay, he knows what he's doing. He can at least cast and read water a little bit. So I turn him loose and say, go up the creek, you know, just around that corner, you'll see it. There's a nice hole. And I go to the other gentleman and start working with him, and he's like, oh my goodness. He's casting like this, and pretty soon we're both wrapped up in his line. I got a hook in my calf. I'm like, whoa, whoa, stop. He goes, no, 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 I know what I'm doing. It's like, no, 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 you don't. So finally I'm like, okay, he won't listen, so I'm just going to let him fish for a bit and see how he does. So I get back out of his casting range and let him fish, and he's fishing what I call junk water, where no fish are. There's crawdads there sometimes. And he's fishing, and keeps putting it in the same place every time. Every time. And we'll call him Bob, okay? I say, hey, Bob, throw your line about 5 feet to the left. Yeah, 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 I know, I know. Same spot. Same spot. Hey, Bob, throw your line about 5 feet left. Okay, yeah, yeah, got it. And I don't know if he couldn't tell he's hitting the same rock every time, or if he was just doing it because he thought that's where the fish were. But for 25 minutes, he wouldn't listen to me and kept fishing in the same spot. And finally, he gets his hook back and gets himself twirled up and trips, falls down in the creek. It's tangled up. He's got himself hooked in the back of the ear. And he's mad. 50-some-year-old guy throws a rod in the creek and just stomps off. There's no fish in here. I hate this. You don't know what you're doing. I said, Bob, if you just listen, you're not listening to me. I said, watch this. I grab his rod. I pull back 5 feet to the left. Boom. He gets so angry, he storms off. It's like, said some choice things to me. Might have told me I was number one. And headed back to camp. I mean, furious. I thought, wow, that didn't go so good. So I wrap his rod up and head on up the creek to meet with the other guy. And he goes, well, where's Bob? And I said, oh, he headed back to camp. I didn't say why or anything like that, because we should know when to keep our mouth shut. And I didn't know if he'd be there when we got back or not. I was just hoping. If not, we'd go look for him. But sometimes in our lives, we have our plan and our thinking, and that's all we see. And we can't see that we're just twisted up in our own line. We're just ripping a hook into our own flesh, trying to beat our own drum. And God's saying, hey, Arby, just 5 feet to the left. You're really close, but just 5 feet to the left. and you'll catch all the fish you want. Because this is a hole that I've seen 20, 30 fish come out of consistently, year after year, different times of the season. But we have to listen to the instruction of the Lord, which happens through the renewing of our mind, the rebuilding of our walls and defenses, so that we don't always have to walk around on eggshells and on guard, just knowing that every dart of the devil that comes at us is going to hit us because we have no defense. But to where we can sit there and go, you know, it's okay, you know, they're going to bounce off the wall. I can go about my business and do what God's asked me to do because I have my defenses in place. And this is the place we're trying to get back to, so that we can just walk up to the stream and go, no fish, no fish, no fish. Bam, first cast every time. Because you can fish a lot of water and never catch a fish. But you can go with someone that knows what they're doing, and you can throw the lure in once into the right hole, the right spot. First cast, first fish. Second cast, second fish. And it's that way for us. If we'll just tune our ear, not to our command, but the command of God, we can say, what now, God? Oh, 5 feet left. Got it. And we can float 5 feet left. And bam, we're back on track. But we've got to get our defenses back in order. We've got to get our walls built. We've got to get our doors built. No longer in rubble, no longer burned down. So look at where you're at. Ground zero, where am I at? I've got a starting point. Take inventory. What do I need to get to where I'm going? And then we can begin our journey. And next week, we're going to look at tools we can use along the way and how they can be effective or detrimental according to how we use them. So renew your mind to the mind of Christ. Continually renewal. Continuing in that day by day. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite Wayne. He's going to come close us out. If you grab your folders. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Arby. Morning, everyone.